John the Baptist is the first to say, "This is the Messiah. This, behold, is the Lamb of God." John baptizes Jesus and proclaims Jesus as the anointed. But John the Baptist is now in prison and in doubt. If even John the Baptist is confused by what he sees by Jesus, something is not going as expected. What is John looking for? You will remember that John has been preaching about a Messiah who will be a fierce and apocalyptic axe to the root of the tree, a reformer. And Jesus is fulfilling some of those expectations of John's Messiah, but not all. Jesus is not advocating an overthrow of the Roman occupation or civic unrest and resistance. And so John and his disciples are wondering, "Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another? Oh, but we thought the Messiah would, we were expecting someone who..." They are waiting for someone more undeniable, more obvious, more spectacular. And Jesus responds, "Tell John what you see. The sick are healed, hope is given to the poor." Jesus says, this is the real evidence of the Messiah at work, healing and hope. Jesus doesn't start at the top, getting appointments with the most important people he can have access to. Instead, Jesus goes straight to the ordinary people in need, and he heals one on one. God can part the Red Sea, but he doesn't do it often. God's kingdom is the tiny mustard seed, the treasure buried in an ordinary field. And this is actually at the heart of what Jesus wants to show us about God. The spectacular thing is God's choice of the unspectacular, the ordinary family, the ordinary town, and the one-on-one miracles of healing. The extraordinary thing is God's choice for the ordinary. God enters human experience in every way that we can imagine, including and perhaps especially the most commonplace experiences of human life. This season of Advent has many themes as we prepare for Jesus' birth and his second coming in glory. And one of them is waiting. It's such an understated theme. It's often glossed over. In the second lesson today, the letter of James urges patience, strengthen your hearts. Take the example of the prophets in their suffering and patience. The word patience is related to the same root as passion and suffer. Patience, passion, suffer, coming from the same experience. A hospital patient is someone who is acted upon. A patient is someone who is treated, who becomes the object of medical decisions carried out by others. Being in hospital has to be one of the most intense experiences of waiting, of patience and suffering. And when we think about waiting, it's often a painful mix of caring, longing, not knowing, fear, hope, suffering, praying, powerlessness, and often a feeling of intense isolation. What about your experiences of waiting? We seem to be living in a time where waiting has become increasingly intolerable to us. As a culture, we hate to wait. We boil over in frustration, road rage at a delay, traffic holdups, subway delays. The evidence is everywhere in modern life that fast is not fast enough. Same-day delivery, instant gratification, Instagram, grab and go. Even email has become too cumbersome, so we text and Twitter instead. Think about times when you have been acted upon by forces you cannot control. when we lose our job or fail to land a position that we've set our heart on, when we're treated unfairly, when we are shamed, when we are frustrated by circumstances beyond our control that we cannot change, when we feel insignificant, vulnerable, exposed. Think of Jesus on the cross. If that is not vulnerable and exposed, I don't know what is. Jesus is a little baby. When we feel sidelined, trapped, powerless, when we receive bad health news or loved ones fall ill, all these experiences and many more take us out of the driving seat of our own lives. No matter how independent we want to be, we are forced into a passivity that is beyond frustrating. We don't have to be the victim of a headline injustice to know these feelings of frustration and powerlessness. Life hands that to all of us in some way eventually. This business of waiting and passivity and all of the attendant emotions that go with that. Only God is the prime mover. Only God can snap God's godly fingers and instantly transform circumstances. And yet, in Jesus, God chooses not to. In Jesus' birth and later in his passion, his patient suffering and death, God chooses to step back from controlling the actions of others. God enters fully into the experience of being at the mercy of forces that he chooses not to control. The mercy of politics and rampant self-interest. The mercy of being handed over to the decisions of people who don't know Jesus at all and couldn't care less. We might even say that at the heart of this holy mystery of Advent and Incarnation, that we see that waiting is at the heart of what God does. And there is a very profound and much fuller exploration of this theme in a classic book by W.H. Vanstone called The Stature of Waiting. The Stature of Waiting. It's an incredible, powerful, densely argued little spiritual book. And for those who are systematic theology buffs, what Vanstone does is he uses Paul Tillich's method of correlation, which is essentially quite a simple idea that God, the doctrine of God, what we're taught about God, what comes to us through scriptures, correlates with human experience, and they are in dialogue with each other. So doctrines about God will find, if we understand them correctly, an echo in our human lives, and there's a dialogue between the doctrine of God and our human experience. So in this case, we think of God as all-powerful, the initiator, the creator in a way that we will never be, and so God is. Yet part of God's passion is this submission to being acted on by us. In Jesus, God steps back from control. In Jesus, God is born powerless, and he will submit to dying powerless. What God is always waiting for, the one thing God asks from all of God's beloved creation, is a return of love, a response of love back. God is always waiting for a response of love back to God and outward to all our neighbors. Because waiting is what God does, waiting can never be meaningless. Waiting is not a gap or a deficit or an aberration or a pause or a mistake in our lives that somehow we can overcome by sheer force of will or technological efficiency. Rather, when we wait, it is full of God's image in us. The experience of waiting is at the heart of our life in God and the life that God shares with us in becoming human. When we understand our frustrations and sufferings and longings when we wait, when we understand our experience in this way, it elevates and dignifies our human life and our human waiting. It reframes our sufferings and frustrations and longings and disappointments so that we can think of them quite differently. We can think of them as sharing in God's own life, and the ordinary can become extraordinary. So perhaps next time, when we are just waiting in line, or waiting for someone we love, or longing for something, hoping or frustrated by how long something's taking, when we're exhausted by our waiting, when we're devastated and disappointed after a long wait with only bad news at the end, then we can think of God. God has been there in Jesus. God comes alongside us in Advent and in every season of our lives and the church year. And God still waits in eternal Advent hope that each of us, each of his beloved, will respond with a return of love. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.